opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
A break from the Sabres, at least mostly. Kevin Adams speaking earlier today. We spent most of the day on it, but we'll do little to none of that here. Sal Capaccio joining us in studio today. What do we have from football? We have that Aaron Rodgers, I mean, once again, he stuck his neck out. He says he's pretty sure this will be his last NFL season. The Bills will have a chance to end Rodgers like they almost did Brett Favre. So Favre had the Arthur Motes hit in Minnesota.
Right.
Vikings go on to win the game easily, but like Favre leaves the game. He did play one more game after that, 2 weeks later in Chicago.
Right. He missed a game, a consecutive starts streak ended.
That's it. They ended the streak,
yes. Right.
Is what it was. So
the Bills almost ended Rodgers' season before last. I mean, torn Achilles at age 39. He didn't have to come back from that. He did, of course. So.
And they ended his season last year by getting a 40-0 lead in the third quarter. That was enough.
Right.
I don't know, Sal, to start with Rodgers, since I brought him up, your level of optimism for Pittsburgh.
I mean, he makes them a little bit better. I think that the gap they have to clear, though, to get to where they want to be or think they can be against Baltimore and maybe even Cincinnati, and I know that Cincinnati wasn't that good last year, but offensively, certainly, I just don't know if it's enough. I mean, they'll be better with Aaron Rodgers, I think, if he's healthy, than they would be with Mason Rudolph. It's a question of if he's healthy. I still think they have questions about their offensive line. Can they keep him healthy? But let's just say Rodgers plays a full season. Yeah, they can get in the playoffs. I think they can.
They always do.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Some
right.
Way, it seems somehow like it. They do.
But the question really for me would be like, what does that look like? What does that mean? It's still probably the seventh seed going on the road somewhere and losing, right? I mean, like, I just don't think they're nearly good enough around the board to compete with the Baltimore Ravens.
A way that I've thought about it is he's capable. The problem with an aging player like that is just you cannot consistently hit the ceiling you need to hit. That people are used to seeing you hit as an MVP caliber player, but occasionally you can. Mm-hmm. And if that occasion happens to be a playoff game after you've played 17 regular season games, presumably, then maybe, you know, you have that day and it's like, oh, Rodgers, you know, echoes of the past or something. That's like the best case scenario I think you can build for that working out for them.
I don't disagree, and I think that's still hoping through 17 games you can get to that point to be able to do that, right? I saw a stat. You follow Warren Sharp, and you've talked about him.
Oh, maybe. This one today?
I don't know if it was this one today, because I think he reposted it today. I saw it a few days ago about the Steelers' first drives of the games. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this?
Mm-hmm. I did not see
this. Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. I'm like, well, that speaks highly to not having a good plan going into a game. They were, I think I have this right, but you tell me, Mike. Last year, Bulldog, the Steelers were outscored on their own offense on their first drives of the game. They scored 0 points on their first drives of the game, but they gave up 7 points.
I think it was touchdowns. But still.
Yes, that's okay.
They did not score a touchdown on their opening drive, and there was a pick six. So they were minus one in touchdowns on their opening drive.
I mean,
wow, what? All year.
Yes.
They never got the ball and just matriculated down the field.
unless for a field goal, I guess.
It's amazing.
It is. I think that speaks to Arthur Smith or whoever's running the offense and the plan they have and the quarterback and all that.
Didn't really have – I mean, they might have with Pickens, but really didn't show that they had – big play capabilities, Pittsburgh with Fields and then Wilson. And what about that for the Bills this year, Sal? Like, ironically, as we've talked about many times, Allen had the MVP season without the numbers you'd expect to see from an MVP, you know, chunk play kind of stuff, right? Downfield. A lot of it was short. A lot of it was running. Last year, at this time, last offseason, my feeling was, philosophically, we know that they're going to run the ball a lot because it worked the year before when they moved to Brady. You change offense coordinators during a season, they had success. There was no logical reason for me to think they would be different philosophically. Mm-hmm. Does that just continue here? I mean, 30 rushing touchdowns, 30 points a game, made a couple of different people, but would you expect their offense to mostly look the same?
I would. And it's interesting. I've been thinking about this a little bit where like, you still have a segment of fans out there who will say, like, oh, my God, Sean McDermott, conservative, doesn't want to throw the ball. I don't think that's true, but I do think it's not about not wanting to throw the ball because when you throw the ball, three things can happen and two of them are bad, right? That's not the philosophy. What I do think, though, because of the way McDermott and Bean have talked and the fact that it has kind of come to fruition here, let's face it, Josh Allen, knock on wood, has the longest starting streak of any quarterback in the NFL right now, and it's very prideful for him. But a big reason why, and if you take a look at the sack stats last year, they were so down, they set records with few stats. I do think McDermott's philosophy is, look, I have a really great quarterback here. And if I can keep him healthy and keep him upright, we're going to have a way better chance to win every game.
And a running game can help me do that.
And a running game can do that, and a great offensive line can do that. That doesn't mean I'm opposed to him throwing the ball, but I'm not dropping back like they do Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Because look what has happened to Joe Burrow, and they don't have the offensive line to protect him. I don't think it's a run-pass philosophy. I think it's a, oh my God, that's my meal ticket.
We're cooked without this guy.
Correct. Right? So why would we do anything else? And I do think because of that, Mike, that's why they will continue with that philosophy. Now, that being said, one of the things I think that I've been trying to hammer home a lot. You guys know this. We've talked about it, but I do think it's very under-talked about as a story in the NFL for it. You know, when you handicap teams, I've never seen a situation where a team has every single one of their starting and returning offensive linemen back. I can't remember ever that happening. And oh, by the way, they were really good. Like, this has been something they've been building towards and saying, why would we do anything different? Look at this offensive line we have, and we can keep our quarterback healthy. Yes, of course he's going to make plays. Of course we're going to need him to. We get into L.A. and we got to score 40-something points. We get to Detroit, we got to score 40-something points. That's not the preferable method, though. The preferable method is, hey, when he needs to be Superman, that's fine. When we need to throw, we're going to throw the ball. But holy cow, we'd like to get out of that each game healthy because this is a marathon and not a sprint.
And then it's really about, again, the Bills are set up this year for the playoffs to just be everything. Like, they're a heavy favorite to make it and to become one of these hockey teams, or not us, but hockey or basketball teams, where you just know it's all about what's going to happen in January. Not like it's a fact, but, you know, probably.
Well, I get asked, as you guys do when we go on these shows around the country, like, well, what else? Is it Super Bowl or bust? Yeah, whatever. Is there anything left? I said, there is one thing left. To get the one seed, right? It's not. Yeah, I know. There's one thing left to get to a Super Bowl, but they have not had the one seed, as we all know. We've talked about, and I do think that is a very that matters to this organization. They really want, they need the one seed. It's such a difference in. Yeah, you can beat Denver at home in week one. It's also an extra week that you're not getting ready to sit home and watch the opponents and start preparing and getting guys healthy again. Right? I mean, like, those things matter, I think. And then knowing that, hey, we don't have to go on the road no matter what. If we win one game, we are home for 60 minutes to play for the Super Bowl. It matters.
I think one game, their week one game will feel like it's going a long way toward that. I mean, the Ravens start at the Bills, Cleveland, Detroit, at Kansas City. I mean, they'll be underdogs in two of those games. Maybe not Detroit, but still, like, that's a good team. Kansas City, Chargers in Brazil, Eagles, Giants, Ravens. Like, Detroit in week six. Detroit's key. Detroit has both of those guys.
Yep.
And we'll also play Cincinnati.
Get out in front
too.
And let these people chase you for a change.
I agree. I mean, last year it was They had to chase Kansas City all year, and despite us thinking, oh, that's going to stop Kansas City, look how they're winning. They're winning all these ugly games at the end. They're getting lucky at the end. It never happened. Right. No matter how good the Bills played, no matter how many wins the Bills had, you'd watch Kansas City at 4 o'clock and go, okay, well, this is the week. You'd watch Kansas City on Monday night. Oh, this is the week. And you had them. Third quarter, fourth quarter, here they go. And they wind up winning the game. It's interesting with Kansas City's schedule. I think there was a stat, maybe we've talked about it, that someone brought up. The teams that have played internationally, and that, like, when they come back, or maybe it was last year, I guess would be the Brazil game. When the two teams came back from Brazil, they weren't quite the same, right? Who was maybe who won in Brazil? Last? Did Green Bay win last week or Philadelphia? I can't remember.
Philadelphia won.
Then they Love lost week hurt. Two. They lose week two? Or they didn't play very well week two, one or the other. But it was like there was talk, I guess, from them or people around them saying, like, that was a tough thing for them. That's the point I'm making. That's right.
They lost to Atlanta in week two. And they lost to Tampa in week four, then they never lost again until Christmas.
But I do think that by playing in Brazil week one and then coming back, I think it was somebody on the Eagles who said, like, that actually, like, kind of took a little bit out of them.
Well, it's logical, yeah. And the Bills' version of that would have been London.
Yeah.
Where they were kind of wrecked physically by that game, barely beat the Giants
and
the next week.
They didn't have their bye week the following week because they chose not to, because that's how it works.
Well, you've got the schedule for it, and of course we've had this conversation too, but one reason why the Ravens and the Chiefs starts are kind of stark compared to the Bills is after Baltimore, Bills go Jets, Dolphins, New Orleans, New England, Atlanta, Carolina, their next six games. So you have a chance, as you're saying, to do what Kansas City did last year. I don't remember last year thinking too many times that Kansas City should lose until you watch them. Like, it wasn't before the game when they were playing Denver or Carolina that they should lose. But then, like, it's 16-13 in the fourth quarter.
But what I remember was...
then they would win anyway.
Thinking, okay, every week they're just squeaking out. One of these weeks, somebody's going to get them. Like, going into the game, I agree. Like, not expecting, Mike, but thinking, I think it could happen this week. Even Carolina, and I remember we were in Napa during that game. We're in Napa, and I remember watching that game going, okay, like, Carolina, they got a little bit of talent. There's no way, right? But then all of a sudden, the game starts to go a little way, and you're like, see, here we go again. And then they wind up pulling out.
I watched that game driving back from Owen was driving. I was watching it on my phone driving back from Boston. It was the Bills' bye week. We'd gone away, just like you were away that week, too. We went to Boston for a concert, and we're driving back, and I'm just like, Come on.
Here they go. Can't do it. And then they have the game against the Raiders where the Raiders botched the end of the game with the snap. But yeah, I just think that, you know, for all that the Bills had to chase last year, that was so key where they're trying to get there, and you think they can as well as they played. So back to your point, get ahead of it early.
Right.
Beat Baltimore week one. That is going to feel like a monumental kind of game. Now, that said, Baltimore beat the Bills last year early in the season. It didn't matter to Baltimore at the playoffs. They still had to come to Buffalo.
Right.
Sal Capaccio in studio today. We can call it the West Shore Hotline. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Also yesterday, just had a thought how Amari Cooper hasn't signed anywhere. And neither, by the way, has Gabe Davis, who was released by Jacksonville after, I think, a failed physical. But there was a report that he was looking, or Pittsburgh was looking at him, and maybe also New Orleans. You know, Cooper. That's just sort of a secondary thought. But Cooper not signing anywhere, does that, yes or no, does that justify how you felt about him when the season ended? Because clearly the league, I mean, they think probably it's over for him.
What I said about Amari Cooper when the season ended was I doubt he would be back in Buffalo because I didn't think that the dollars would match up for a guy of veteran status like him. He came in, he was okay, maybe not as used as people wanted. He had the injury, but it never seemed like it would be one of those deals where, yeah, the Bills would be willing to kind of pay what it might take to get a guy like that because they kind of wanted to do some other things. And it's not that they don't like Amari Cooper, but I just think you get in the league 10 years, you're talking about a higher vet minimum, and he's not going to take the vet minimum. He's going to be higher than that. Just seemed like he was never going to be a fit. I think they wanted to get a little bit younger, a little bit more athletic. They signed Joshua Palmer. And then they bring in Elijah Moore right after the draft, obviously.
It is pretty stark, though, that a guy I thought the Bills were getting a number one wide receiver when they traded for Amari Cooper. And to go from that, and I think a lot of people agreed, like that was what his resume said he was. Terrible quarterbacks right now, he'll be right back on point. And it never really happened. And now like from a number one receiver, wow, glad we got this guy at the trade deadline, to not even any team. Forget about the Bills. Like, just right. No team wanting to get there is pretty stark.
And I do think about, though, that being said, Bulldog, I do think about something I was told years ago by a front office person who said, Sal, guys like that, you don't have to rush out and get them. If you want them, they'll be there. Guess what? They can also be there in August when you have an injury. They're going to keep their bodies right. Like, mm-hmm. He knows. It's like Anquan Boldin, right? Like, okay, hey, mm-hmm. Yeah, you ready? Yep, come on in, let's play. And obviously he retired right after that. But I think with guys like that, it's like, let's go see who else is out there. We don't have to do that. If it works, it's not like a pressing need, but man, if you have a pressing need, get him on the phone because he's a guy that's going to come in. He's going to have his body right. He's going to understand. Been in a lot of systems. He can mm-hmm. come in and he can kind of seamlessly transition.
I got a fairly random question on Twitter today. What percent chance would you give that the 2025 NFL MVP is a first-time winner? So who's active that's won it? Allen, Jackson, Mahomes, Rodgers. Is that it? That might be it.
Active that's won it. Ooh.
Right. So yeah. What percent chance would you give that somebody outside of the list of former winners wins this year? I threw a number out.
Not a lot. I would say maybe about 20%.
It feels like it's got to be a bet on Burrow, if anyone.
See, I'm thinking that's first name, and then I thought Jaden Daniels comes to mind, right? I mean, like, mm-hmm. I know he's in his second year, but man, what a season he had. Can he do that? That's a guy that came to mind. I agree with you. To me, Burrow's the number. If you think that's going to happen, or if you think Barkley replicates his season and they go, all right, we'll do it. We'll give it to him this time because we didn't last year. I don't know.
Would you think like that?
No.
Like, it's hard to, it's important to, I think, but it's hard to resist the past. Like, it's a one-year award. I think last year, Allen benefited from that Jackson had won two times already. Like, that he felt like it was his turn almost. And I could see that for, like, a Hurts this year. He's won a Super Bowl MVP now. And if he has another great statistical year and they're the best team in the league again, maybe, you know, he deserves that, one.
But Hurts and Barkley hurt each other, right? Don't they? Don't isn't the argument if you're going to, you might think Hurts deserves it, and then someone who else covers the Eagles thinks Barkley deserves it, where in a Bills situation, it would be, no, I'm. It's Allen. Allen's the guy you got to give it to here, right? So I think that can happen.
Coming off Diggs, I think that worked for him,
100%.
Too. 100%. Would you think that a non-quarterback could win? Like, that's another point, thinking about last year. Barkley had 2,000 yards and a near historic season, but he didn't come close to winning.
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Really?
I think the award has become the best quarterback in the league award. Or the best quarterback on the best team award. Some combination of those.
I think it can happen. And I think, as Mike said, the past matters. Maybe some people saw last year and said, you know what, maybe I didn't give enough consideration. I think it's very hard, though. Yes, 100%. It's very hard. But I do think it can happen. I mean, holy cow, with the numbers some of these receivers put up, like, if Justin Jefferson has a 2,000-yard receiving season and with a rookie quarterback, the Vikings win their division, people are going to vote for Justin Jefferson, I think. I don't know how much that would translate, but I could see something like that.
I could see it more easily for a running back. And I think we are, because, like, McCarthy could win if that happens for Jefferson, depending on the, like, Darnold came, he was in the conversation at least last year.
Right.
The running back, though, is more independent of the quarterback, and we're in kind of a little bit of a renaissance for that position. Last year would have been the year, though, because Allen's numbers weren't great, and Jackson had won two times,
and Barkley was historic, and Mahomes and was Henry. Down, and
even Henry had 1,900 rushing yards. So last year, the story of last year was these running backs on new teams, mm-hmm. and even guys like Kamara and James Conner on their original teams who stayed healthy. And they had these big seasons, and like, all right, well, let's back off on how much running backs matter. And they even Cook. I mean, 16 touchdowns I did not think was in the range of outcomes.
Speaking of Cook, I wanted to ask you before you walked out of here. I don't know why. We probably have talked about it on the phone or the whatever, remotely 50 times already. But I want to ask it this way. What percent chance would you put on Cook getting something done with Cook, either just between now and the regular season, not to be when training camp starts or whatever? Like, what percent chance do you think?
Pretty low. I would give it pretty low, but higher than I would have prior to minicamp. And the reason I say that is I thought Brandon Bean's wording was very interesting when he said with or without a new deal, meaning, okay, maybe there's something going on there. I still think, though, that the way that Cook has talked or behaved on social media, I think what we think about or know about the Bills' value of that position, how Brandon Bean kind of operates building the team, things he said, I just don't know if you can get there. So I would give it a higher chance. Maybe if you asked me before minicamp Bulldog, I might say like five or less percent chance. It would have to really take somebody going, okay, all right, let's just do this. I think maybe I'd go to like 10% now. I still don't think it's very likely at all.
I'm with you. I just don't see it. I know there's a risk there, you know, that harmony and all that, but I'm not expecting them to get something done.
There's this is to my me, there's, gut feeling about there's it. More of a chance. I'm not predicting this will happen. There's more of a chance he shows up and kind of has a little hold-in statement, even maybe one day, whatever it is, than he does actually get a new deal.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Like, I just think that that's, to me, that's more of what I'm looking for. If you ask me, like, what are you watching with James Cook when you get to training camp? I'm watching if he's practicing, not if he's putting a pen to a piece of paper, right? I mean, that could happen. I'd be surprised. I'm watching for, is he going to practice when he shows up?
Want to give a thought on Kevin Adams today? I a lot of it for me, and I think this has been a theme, is messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the more baffling things, I think Adams is sincere. I think he's, you know, maybe in a place now where he's kind of had it with the noise, but I don't know. But in one sense, I really wouldn't blame him for that. But what's baffling to me is how the Sabres just seem to get the message wrong, in my opinion at least, wrong so often. And coming in almost ever with how long it's been since they've been good, with, you know, how the media gets it wrong and how bad you feel for fans because of misinformation is just incredible to me. So I don't know. Like, there are a lot of people are coming up with lots of different, you know, attacks, reasons for being disgruntled about him and them. But for me, that's a big one, is like he's talking today, Sal, about Matias Samuelsson and how he, like, it's not true that they had considered a buyout or anything like that. And I don't know, like, how just take it's not it wasn't even a question about him, but just a simple, we talk about everything, you know, just sort of simplify and just stay humble here, this guy, with these press conferences. But I don't know, it doesn't really sound like that at all.
I came away today, believe it or not, more maybe confused on the J.J. Paterka situation than I went in today. And I was hoping to get a little bit of, and look, from a guy who covers the Bills, you have this James Cook thing hanging out, and Brandon Bean at every single turn makes sure you know how much they love James Cook. We want James Cook here. I'm not telling you it's going to work out. I don't know where it's going to go, but make no mistake, this is our guy. We want him. There is a business side to it. I didn't get that from Kevin Adams. I also didn't get that they hate him. Right. I understand that.
Well, difference is Cook still is under contract.
That is correct.
Paterka's contract is up, and he doesn't want to paint himself into a corner saying how much they love him, and then, you know, tomorrow trade him because they can't
find
him.
That's exact. I get it.
So
I get it.
He's, you know, he's in a tough tougher spot than Bean, I think, in that. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing encouraging that came from today.
No, encouraging if you... Like, I don't want them to trade J.J. Paterka. I think there's a world and a scenario where you could get better as a team. I think it's hard. I think it's going
to
be hard.
It's going to be a hard trade to win, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you want to trade J.J. Paterka and be a better team on the ice, I think that's a hard thing to do. Now, that said, I'm not saying I want to pay the guy $10 million a year either. I get right. it, right? So it's a tough spot, and I understand that he's in a tough spot right there. But, you know, I think this team is better with J.J. Paterka than what you could get in return, because I am not interested in prospects. I don't care about the number 3 pick that's being floated out there. I don't care about the number 9 pick. Like, I'm tired of prospects. I've said this on my show, which is every time I hear someone say, oh, the Sabres are the youngest team in the league, my response is, again? Who cares? They've been the youngest team in the league for 10 freaking years, basically. And it doesn't matter. I want players who can play on this team and win. And right now, that, to me, represents JJ. We had this conversation... You and your son, and I think we talked about it at golf, like, or when I had you on my show. Thank you. And you on the show. I was really kind of struck, and it finally, like, oh my God, when I see Sam Bennett hoisting the cup and thinking, this guy has been in the league 11 years, and he looks like he's 35 years old. He's 28, right? Like, it takes a while in the NHL. Okay, maybe J.J. Paterka doesn't love in Buffalo. He also just probably hates losing. I get it. But there's a player there that I think can be good to help you 4 years from now, not even next year. And that's what's frustrating to me, that you keep doing that and turn it over, and it just hasn't worked.
Wouldn't say what he said about Tuck today, and we've wondered on both guys. Wants to be here, that whole thing. So often, almost always, it seems, a theme with the Sabres. You know, with Cook, guys, I think, want to be on the Bills. So it's a much easier, as Adams, I think, would tell you and has told us, much easier thing.
Well, you see, Mike Greer said today,
right,
he was asked about taxes.
The taxes, yeah.
And he said, that doesn't matter to me much. People want to pay for winning teams.
It can be. I think he conceded it can be an advantage for those teams, but it's really about
winning.
What you're putting on the ice.
It's about winning. We lived through this, through the drought of the Bills. And then when they made the playoffs and they kind of turned the culture around and people said, oh, wait a minute, there's something going on there. And then you get Josh Allen, who's the greatest recruiting tool I guess you could have.
Yeah.
And players want to come to Buffalo. They want to be here. They want to play for the Bills.
It would seem. Very good. Sal, thanks for fitting us in.
You got it, guys.
Nice seeing you.
You too.
All right. Sal's appearance with us, always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Phone lines are open again for you, 803-0550 on the Sabres and some Bills stuff. We'll continue. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.